Two River Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey, announcing an experimental virtual Little Shakespeare education program, Tiny Shakes, Romeo and Juliet. High school students are being encouraged to submit video auditions for this wonderful program by March 1st. And joining us on the WBGO Journal to talk about the exciting program is M. Weinstein, who has adapted and directed Tiny Shakes, and Two River's education director, Kate Cordaro. Kate has served as Two River Theater's Director of Ed since 2004. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So let's talk about Tiny Shakes. When it comes to Romeo and Juliet, I know Romeo and Juliet, I heard you in a workshop, Em, talk about all your thoughts and feelings. This goes really deep for you. But tell us first about how you got involved with Two River Theater, because I know you directed Twelfth Night for the Little Shakespeare production there at Two River Theater. How did the relationship begin?
It began through a professor. I was in grad school at Yale School of Drama, and a professor there recommended me. I've been passionate about Shakespeare my whole life and was really big Shakespeare nerd when I was a little kid. And I interviewed for the position when I was still in grad school and was so excited to work on Twelfth Night last year and really fell in love with the theater and the teen actors. And I think it was such a beautiful experience for me and for the other professional designers and artists who I brought with me. So I'm so happy to be back in a slightly different incarnation, but hopefully with the same spirit.
And Em, correct me if I'm wrong, but during that workshop, you had said there's really nothing that you love more than Shakespeare. Is that true?
Yes, I love Shakespeare. I think Shakespeare taught me so much about gender and identity and falling in love and language, and I'm mostly a writer these days, but what I love about working on Shakespeare is you kind of get to write using his incredible language, but you get to contemporize it and bring new stories and make it sing in a you know, time that's 400 years later, but wherein the words are often still relevant and sometimes not. But what's fun about Shakespeare is you know you're not going to break it. So you can have a lot of fun. And I think Romeo and Juliet, I mean, most people in the West have read this play or know it or have seen a movie. So what's so fun about it is that people come in with all of these preconceived notions, some of which are useful, some of which they want to throw out, and you can really play with an audience. And even in Shakespeare's time, this play was, the story was pretty well known, and he tells you in the first chorus exactly what's going to happen. So really what you get to do is play with what that means now. And I think especially for teens, it's a really, really fun play to tear apart and dig into and like take a both deeply thoughtful and irreverent eye to.
Kate Cordaro, you have really from the ground up as the artistic home for thousands of students through these programs like A Little Shakespeare, Metro Scholars, Monday Masters, Playdates, Spectrum Theater Residency, Summer Intensives, Theater Works, Relaxed Performances, a vibrant student matinee series. Boy, you can't put that all on your business card, but these are all because of your time at Two River Theater. First of all, congratulations for what you've done there. Tell us why you're so excited about Tiny Shakes, Romeo and Juliet.
Thanks, Doug. I am very excited about Tiny Shakes because it's really using this time and place where we are now and all of the restrictions that are put on us and having the creativity come out of that. I loved having conversations with Em where they were very adamant about like, let's really use this as an opportunity. And Em really brought the theater along to their vision of this idea. And I just, I'm thrilled by it and I love it. Because usually a little Shakespeare, you know, it's a 75 minute cut of a Shakespeare play, which is directed and designed by theater professionals and performed and supported backstage by high school students. And so we've done this model for 7 years, either in our Black Box Theater or in our main stage theater, in the Recknitz Theater. And so being able to use this time where we can't gather and change it completely, like just break it and build it into something completely new, is just kind of thrilling. And we're all looking for inspiration these days, aren't we? Like, this is the first thing this season that I've gotten really, really excited about. So I'm just thrilled to see how it's all gonna shake out.
And Em, it's going to be students' involvement, student ideas, student creations that will help shape your vision for Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, we're all gonna make it together. We're gonna figure out what it is, you know, as a group, which is often how theater was made way back in Shakespeare's time, and has been, you know, in sort of devised processes recently in contemporary theater. And really, I hope that it feels like this beautiful, big, really fun collage that doesn't feel like, you know, your homework, Romeo and Juliet, feels like something that feels relevant and fresh. And so we're gonna work on video creation and people can write songs and we're gonna have graphic design elements. And it's gonna be a completely different virtual experience of Romeo and Juliet that doesn't necessarily look like a play, but might look like a whole bunch of other things, which is super exciting. And I think Shakespeare would have liked it too.
Is there a possibility that this version of Romeo and Juliet, because it's coming from students who are experiencing the most difficult times, maybe that teenagers have faced in quite some time, both with COVID and social justice matters and things like that, could we see COVID in Romeo and Juliet?
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. I think that could very much be the case. But you know, I also could imagine a world in which no one wants to talk about COVID and everyone wants to pretend that it's, you know, 1599. So I think I'm really excited to hear sort of where the students are experiencing heartache and experiencing joy and really dig into what feels exciting and relevant to them. So, but yeah, it could all be there. But I'm trying not to have too many notions before I meet this amazing group of people who are gonna make it happen.
Kate, since you've been working with teens for so long, you kind of have a sense, I'm sure, where they may be headed in this virtual world. How difficult has it been for you as an educator during COVID?
It's, you know, we're all just reinventing everything. And so, you know, the usual ways of getting people's attention don't necessarily work. And the usual ways of engaging are out the window. So you know, as educators, we have to make stuff up all the time anyway. We have to be able to go into a room with a complete plan and read that room and see where the kids are and be ready to just throw everything out because you already have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D. So you have to be able to be nimble. I mean, it's tough, but I mean, I'm not an educator who has been working with kids every day, and hats off to them because wow, I have a 10-year-old kid. I know how difficult it is for kids to sit and focus and learn in this way, but teachers are making it happen. And so in any way that we can, you know, bring in the arts in this weird and wonderful way, I'm all for it.
Kate Cordaro was an actress herself in many things. And I know that you hold Romeo and Juliet dear to your heart and some roles that you tell us about that connection, and which brings even more excitement, I'm sure, to Tiny Shakes.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet. I was a play that I did when I was at NYU. I was Benfolio, and then we after school was over, we toured all over the East Coast to schools and did Romeo and Juliet and again Benfolio. And then this past fall, you know, Two River staff is filled with people who have been artists and who have been actors. And we, John Diaz, our artistic director, has formed the Two River Players, made up of Two River staff. And we are doing readings. And I was the nurse this past fall. So that was very fun. Yeah, that's that's the extent of my R&J resume.
Kate, I'm sure you're aware Two River Theater in Red Bank is near and dear to my heart, having done several on-stage interviews when it comes to several of the productions there, and just unbelievable people who work at Two River Theater. Now, Em, with a MFA from Yale School of Drama, you directed a little Shakespeare production of Twelfth Night at Two River Theater. How does this help you? You kind of know the landscape of the stage, but now it's a virtual thing. So it's a little different for you. So how have you been able to adjust, and what are you looking forward to most about Tiny Shakes?
Yeah, well, I've worked a lot as a filmmaker. I've made a couple of short films, and I'm now working on a TV show that I'm writing. So I feel like I sort of live in both theater and TV/film. And so what's really exciting about this is kind of getting to bring that all together. And find a way to make something that feels very alive and very theatrical, but using sort of the tools that I often use in television and film. So I'm really, really excited to see how we can bring this play to life on screen. And also, I'm just excited to sort of tear it apart and see what feels relevant, because I think, you know, I actually directed Romeo and Juliet at Yale School of Drama, an all-female production of it, which was a lot of fun. And, you know, my feelings about the play then, you know, are completely different than my feelings about the play now. And I think that's what's so fun about theater, in which we revive these plays that have been done over and over again, is there's always a new light to shed. And so I'm just really excited about what feels new about the play and what you know, excites the students and the actors about it, and what you know they bring forth from it. Because yeah, I could lecture on my feelings about Romeo and Juliet all day, but I feel like what I love about Shakespeare is that I learned something totally new and a completely new angle with which to frame it. So yeah, I couldn't be more excited to get started and to bring in these amazing young collaborators.
I can certainly feel your energy watching your workshops, that it would be very easy to get involved in a production that you are leading. But these are serious topics in Romeo and Juliet, as you talk about. You know, you talk about the fact that they both end up taking their own lives in the end, and that mental health issues. And you even mentioned that, you know, for you growing up, you face some of these things. How do you put yourself into the shoes, and does this, is this a help for you to have a topic like this, or does it bring back memories that maybe are difficult for you?
No, I mean, I've luckily worked through a lot of my teen trauma, and now use it to make art, which, you know, I hope for all of us. But I think, you know, I think in a lot of ways, Romeo and Juliet can be a dangerous play for teens if it's done poorly. Like, I think it can actually really glorify suicide in a way that I don't think Shakespeare intended at all. And what you mentioned about my thoughts on the chorus is he tells you at the beginning that this is all fate, and that these two young people were star-crossed lovers who were destined to die. So sit back and watch 2 hours, like fate work its magic. And then what you actually see is a whole bunch of like adult failings and poor decisions and miscommunication and like human pain and error, that then you wind up watching these two kids take their lives. And I think Shakespeare wants you to be pretty angry and to be like, wait, what? That shouldn't have happened. There's nothing romantic about that. That is just plain tragic and pathetic and preventable. And I think that resonates with me, and hopefully resonates with the kids I work with too. And I think, you know, it's an anti-teen suicide piece in a lot of ways. But I also think that there's so much other right material in this play about falling in love and about having crushes on your best friend who doesn't like you back, and about, you know, getting into fights. And there's so much there that I don't want to say that, you know, our entire process is going to be like a look at suicide and mental health, because frankly, that might not be what's interesting to the students. And I really want to hold their voices up and not to, you know, completely direct it where I want to go. Cause I've done my version of Romeo and Juliet that's about teen suicide. And, you know, I'm very willing to look at that again, but I also think that, that might not be the most pressing issue on these actors' lives. So that's kind of the joy of this process, is we get to sort of follow the desires and the excitements and the passions of this group of teens. And so we'll see what happens. We'll see what part of Romeo and Juliet is the most resonant.
I think one of the key words that you've said is choice. The actors in this play had a choice. The people who were putting together this project have a choice and have all kinds of creative ways. Give us some of the things that, you know, they may be doing, so we get a sense of how these students who are thinking about submitting, what can they do?
I mean, there's going to be acting. Like, we might make some short films. We might make some TikTok videos. We might make some graphic novels. We might make some dance pieces. We might write some, you know, original music. We might write some weird ass fan fiction. Like, you know, they're like, I mean, I, as a kid, was obsessed with old movies. Like, if someone comes and wants to make a super cut of, you know, some old black and white movie and redo the whole thing, so it's actually the plot of Romeo and Juliet, like, that would be cool too. Like, there's sort of no, we're going to start with a super wide net where people are going to just bring all of their wild, crazy ideas. And from there, we're going to channel it down into a collage that, like, makes sense with itself. So it might be like the entire play told through TikTok videos, or it might be an interactive website that brings you through each act of the play, in a different medium. The only limitation is, you know, what you're able to make in your imagination with pen and paper, with your iPhone, with your body, with your guitar. And frankly, that's pretty limitless. So I'm really, really, really excited. And I would just say, like, for students who don't know if they want to act or who have no interest in theater, like, that's totally fine. There's so many ways to come at this material, and pretty much anyone can bring themselves and find a way to be creative and to have a voice through this material. So I just encourage everyone to audition, to ask us questions, to engage with us, because we want your voices and we want you in the show.
We're speaking with Em Weinstein and Kate Cordaro here on the WBGO Journal about Tiny Shakes, Romeo and Juliet. You know, as an accomplished teaching artist and director, Kate, you've worked with the Monmouth and Ocean County Teens Arts Festivals, and there's a lot of teen when you talk about Kate Cordaro. You mentioned you have a 10-year-old, so eventually that 10-year-old is going to become a teen as well. But what is it about working with teens that has been so enjoyable for you? You could be doing many other things. You choose to work with teens and be an educator and really work with shows. Why is that?
They're the best. I mean, they're just the best. They are life affirming. They are such a mess. They are so wonderful and insightful and questioning, and it's they're the most pure people that there are, you know, and they're really just finding their way, just like all of us, but they're just doing it out loud and bigger than you know. They feel things deeply, and they feel and they're they just thrill me to death. Like, I really just love to hear the things that they're thinking, and love to ask them questions and have them just blow my mind. They're really just the best people. Misunderstood and just the best. And you know, and when in rehearsals last year with M and Twelfth Night, you know, M has just such a great way of creating an ensemble. And this group of teenagers who all came together to work together on this piece really, you know, especially in theater, a lot of times they're kids from all over who perhaps feel isolated where they are, and they come together in this place, like a theater, and they're accepted and encouraged to just be themselves and find out what the best version of themselves is. And M was really great at that. And so I'm excited to see how that works in this format. But it's, teenagers are, they're really hard, but they're excellent people. And I'm excited and scared for when my son becomes one.
And you know, what's fun about interviewing you is that you've already answered one of the questions that I usually ask guests. And that is, if William Shakespeare was back on this planet, what would some of his thoughts be? And when I listen to your workshop, you bring that up with the students. And so what would be the comment that the English playwright would have about this virtual version of Romeo and Juliet, Tiny Shakes, that would mean a lot to you?
I think, I don't know what comment, but I think if it's surprising to him, that would be great. I think Shakespeare would be like very confused as to why we're still doing his plays if he showed up again. I mean, I think he'd be like happy about it, but probably like, wait, what? He was a working class guy who wrote to make a living, was working with actors who were in their teens, was really a workaday writer. And it's amazing that his voice has lasted this long and is so incredibly brilliant. But yeah, I mean, I think also I'm a little bit, you know, of the mind that I don't care what he thinks is the other truth. And I sometimes bristle at like the super reverent readings of Shakespeare that oh my God, it's not exactly how he would have done it. And I'm like, of course it's not. You think that if Shakespeare had electricity and like body mics, he wouldn't have used them? Of course he would. Like, he used every tool at his disposal. And so why shouldn't we? I loved seeing theater at the Globe when I was a kid with the Elizabethan costumes and all of that. But in my book, like, what's so great about Shakespeare is it does not have to be handled with kid gloves. And it's there for us all to use and to interpret as we wish. And if I can forgive him his racism and sexism, he can forgive me changing the plot of his play if I want to. So
with that in mind, A Day with Shakespeare, you have him at your disposal. You can take him anywhere you want in 2021. Where are you going to spend the day with Shakespeare?
Oh gosh, that's a very, very hard question. I don't know. I guess I would take him. I mean, I don't know. I'm from New York, so I'd be like, we go on a walk around New York.
Shakespeare in the Park.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. Shakespeare in the Park. I don't know. I'd be like, here, watch. I don't know. What my answer to that question is. I think I often don't think of Shakespeare as a person. I think of Shakespeare as like a body of work. So it's hard for me to sort of even imagine who he was, to be completely honest with you. But I will think about that. And if I have a better answer, I will let you know.
If you're a teen watching this right now, or you're a parent of a teenager and you want to get them involved, we certainly understand why, because our appetites, are certainly there now after listening to both of you. Kate, once again, what are the details? How do they get the information to you so this can all work out?
So all of our information is on our website right now at www.tworivertheater.org. And you can find it through the education pages there. And there's a whole list of the things you need to do. You need to fill out a Google form and look at the schedule, make sure that you can, do the work. And all of the prompt for how you submit your video, it's all there. The great thing about this is, our rehearsals are in the Eastern time zone. If you are able to make those rehearsals, you can audition. So we have some kids in Georgia who have signed up for auditions already, just because they have enthusiastic teachers who know about Two River and are excited about it. And so if you can meet us where we are in our time zone, audition. Californians, Alaskans, whoever it is.
So one last question that I'd like both of you to answer here on the WBGO Journal. Outside family and Two River Theater family, who gets the first view of Tiny Shakes for both of you? Kate, we'll have you go first.
I mean, it's going to be my kid. It's going to be my son. He has seen a couple of the Little Shakes performances. He's not a theater kid per se, but the kid loves TikTok. So he's going to be really excited about the way the story is told.
I'm really excited for the teens who did it last year to see this. And I'm really excited for teens like across the country who make theater and who want to engage in theater and can't because of COVID or because of their location to see it. I think they're the audience I'm most excited about.
I can't let you go, Em. When you're working on this television show, if you're looking for an overweight news director who's a little bit bald and has some hair on his chin, I know someone that you could contact and he'd be thrilled to be a part of what you're doing.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. I will definitely keep that in mind as we're writing.
Congratulations to both of you for Tiny Shakes.
Thank you.
And we'll get the word out, and we look forward to the actual virtual production. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Doug.